This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV shows from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Craig Fay.
And I'm your host, Rebecca Reins.
And this week on the podcast, it's audience choice time. Our patrons have voted, and they have voted overwhelmingly for Talladega Nights, the Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Do you like this movie, Craig? It's the first thing I want to ask you right out of the gate before we even dive in.
Do I like this movie? Okay, so if you had asked me last week, the answer would have been no.
Yes, okay.
I remember when this movie came out, and I was working at a video store at the time, so like, of course I was going to like watch it. And it was so dumb, right? It was just dumb with no other sort of redeeming qualities. And then I rewatched it for this, and I was like, oh, this is Will Ferrell I want to say Philip Seymour Hoffman. That's not right.
Oh my God.
John C. Reilly. Yeah. You see why I got confused. just having fun. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, growing up, I love this movie.
Yeah. And I was just like, but what struck me was just like, I was genuinely smiling for the first like 30 minutes of this movie. Just being like, this is so silly. And I think my tastes have sort of changed in light of recent events as to like what I want from a comedy. Does that make sense?
Oh, I had a big conversation about this the other day about how my appetite for what I find funny has been lowered so much because I just want these pure joy moments. Like, I just want these nothing comedies. I will laugh at a fart joke right now. Like, I just need release. So I like this was like a great movie to watch for me.
It was. Like, I was kind of dreading's the wrong word, but I was like, this is going to be work to watch this. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And then I think I enjoyed this more than a lot of movies that we've done for the podcast over the last little bit. Like, I was just like, oh, yeah, this is fun.
It is fun. It's just them screaming the whole movie. They're just screaming, okay? Which, you know, I'm a fan of, Craig. I'm a big fan of the scream comedy. I love it. I'm down. No, obviously, not every joke has aged amazingly, nor probably was it great at the time, even.
Probably not.
But there are definitely some jokes that really hit for me in this movie. So if you guys haven't seen this movie, essentially the plot is the main character, our hero, Will Ferrell, Ricky Bobby. He is abandoned as a child. Okay, he's addicted to speed, as his father was. He was delivered in a high speed car. He gets the opportunity to drive for NASCAR. He tears it up, and then shit goes south because he has too big of an ego. French guy shows up, as is American tradition. We need a foreign enemy. It is essential to the plot line. Okay,
Jean
this man
Gerard.
Be foreign, and we make fun of French people. Essential. He shows up, takes over, breaks his arm, and his wife leaves him. He spins out, and then somehow gets it back together through a montage of a cougar in a car. and he makes it back. That's pretty much.
And he wins the, well, actually, I guess he doesn't win at the end, does he?
No, he does not. His best friend wins.
Yeah, John C. Reilly, which is kind of nice. But that pretty much sums it up. And then it's just ridiculousness all the way through.
Yeah, if you're like, that plot line sounds stupid. Yeah. 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 The whole thing's absolutely absurd.
I think it's a legitimate criticism of what I would call the later generation Will Ferrell movies, which I think this is almost the beginning of. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's in there.
Which is that a lot of the plot is just set up for long, insane kind of set piece sketches, like him running around the running around the racetrack in his underwear, screaming that he's on fire. You know, like that goes on for a while.
All right, so to dive in, Craig, who are the villains to you in this movie? Or I say villains because I believe there's two.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a villain, villains? What are we talking about here?
So I think the movie obviously sets up Jean Girard as the villain, as the person that Ricky Bobby is trying to overcome. But I think they also kind of frame the team owner. I think Larry Dennett Jr., I think is his character's name.
Yes.
For kind of like trying to sabotage Ricky Bobby in this. Is that who you had as the villain?
Absolutely, of course.
Okay.
And I think both easily defendable characters.
Yes.
Now, of course, they're defendable because this is a comedy. And in this comedy, the main characters are supposed to be idiots and bad people and all this sort of thing. But they are also supposed to have a redeemable arc, right? And the villains are supposed to be wrong in a sense. But in no case do I find, I'm like, some of it I'm like, oh, that's a little aggressive, I suppose. But who doesn't fucking love crepes? What's the matter with you? Just say you love crepes. Who doesn't love crepes? They're delicious. They're absolutely delicious.
They're great. They're great.
They're great. Well, you can make salty ones, sweet ones. Craig, come on.
You don't have to convince me that crepes are good. Would I ever make them at home? No, that seems like that's really hard. But in a restaurant, a little banana, a little Nutella, something like that. Yeah, fantastic. So I think that was one scene I really love. So Jean Girard shows up, played by Sacha Baron Cohen. And like just this, their first confrontation, as you said, it's just, he's got him by the arm and he's like, I won't break your arm. Just say you love crepes. And there's this whole thing where they just discuss that crepes are basically like really thin pancakes. Jean is like compromising with him. He's like, yeah, just say you love thin pancakes. I feel like that's a fair compromise. Just say it. And he chooses to have his arm broken rather than say he likes thin pancakes. Like, come on. That's ridiculous.
Well, yeah, I mean, in tune with the whole movie, for sure.
That's true.
This was honestly growing up like one of my most... This and Anchorman were two of my most quoted movies. Like, I would scream, I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey. I've said that 1,000 times in my life. I've said it 1,000 times for sure.
That's another thing I did find really charming this walkthrough is like, whereas I think the first time I just thought the kids were annoying, I think I kind of got it now where I was just like, oh, they're real pieces of shit on purpose. And some of the things that they scream are so funny.
You're going to break us like wild horses, aren't you?
But yeah, so going back to Jean, I think it's like it's sort of revealed over the course of the movie that, well, first of all, he is hired to be on the same team as Ricky Bobby. Okay, so he's coming from Formula One. He's going to race NASCAR. And what he really wants is just to be beaten by the best. Right.
Which is a pure, that's just such a pure motivation.
Yeah.
Just like, you are the best, and I don't want to retire until I'm beaten by the best.
Yeah. I never
Who
want this.
Love that?
I never want this question in my head of who is the greatest, right? Like, I want to go up against the greatest so that when I retire, I know that I'm either number one, I'm on top, or. No, he was better than me. It's such a pure motivation.
It's so nice. And at no point, like, other than, like, he does break his arm for saying he doesn't love grapes. But at the same time, first of all, Ricky Bobby hit him first. Okay.
This is the hill I die on.
Okay. He hit him first when they were just talking. Okay. Sure, it wasn't a nice conversation, but he was the one that initiated violence.
Okay. And then fucking owns Ricky Bobby. Like not even it's not even a contest, really.
Absolutely. So yeah, he gets hit first. He then retaliates. Okay. All he wants is because Ricky Bobby is you know, some sort of stereotypical ignorant like a NASCAR person. You know what I mean? Like this embodiment of what some people think these people are. I know certainly not all of them are like that. That's insane. But like this, like the worst of the worst kind of mentality. So then you've got this guy.
He's a stereotype kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got this guy that's, you know, super offensive. He's homophobic, like super homophobic. He's he's against the French right off the top. Yeah, of course you would want to be like, hey, say you love crepes. Okay. I get it. Okay. I'm on board for that. I understand these motivations. Okay.
Yeah.
You can't have that guy disrespect you in front of all the other drivers. Okay. Disrespect you, your country, your character, who you are. Okay. You gotta come at him like a spider monkey. How you not going to do that?
Yeah. And I think it's worth pointing out that, like, when he shows up at the bar, what he is bringing to the table, he's like, yes, he's kind of being confrontational, but that to me is good sportsmanlike competitiveness is what he's bringing. He's like, hey, Ricky Bobby, I've been hired for the team because I moved here from F1. I'm going to give you a run for the money. Watch out. It's like, that's what we want from our athletes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You want that Michael Jordan spark. Okay. You want somebody pushing the rest of these guys. We're here to be great. And they kind of frame it like the owner's an asshole for bringing in the best. It's like, I'm pretty sure that's just his job. Okay. Yes. Hiring the best drivers is literally his job. Okay. And if he thinks somebody's better than you, then yeah, get to stepping. Okay. This is what we do.
Yeah. 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 And it's, yeah, so let's talk about the owner for a bit, because like it's sort of set up that first of all the team sucks before Ricky Bobby gets there. Like the driver just leaves the car and gets like fried chicken, right? Like he's sitting at a, it's like he doesn't care at all. So like Ricky Bobby is the person who kind of brings this team up from nothing, but they very clearly say that like it's Ricky Bobby is flipping off other drivers, right, as he passes them. They say he's wrecking cars. Like either he's crashing the car and coming last, or he's getting first. Like it's all or nothing for him. But the point is that he's costing the team money. So even though he's winning, he's a huge liability.
Yes, and he's costing them points, which is the most important part. They're trying to win and gain sponsorship. That's where they get most of their money from. This guy is a businessman. There's another thing that I hate about this villain story is that there's this trope of like, okay, if his wife is like this idea that like his wife is verbally abusive and kind of tells him he's not a man, and like I can't remember what my initial feeling on that was. I don't think I really noted anything from it. But upon this watch, like a critical watch, you know what I mean? Where we just ruin all of my favorite movies. upon critical watch, I'm watching it at, like, this poor man. Oh, my God. This guy gets it at work, okay? Because everybody disrespects him. Ricky Bobby disrespects him. His wife disrespects him, which is so weird. Everybody trashes this man. He comes home to this woman who is very clearly an alcoholic, hits on other people in front of him. He
ruins business deals.
Yeah, Yeah, ruins like, business deals, tries to like reel this woman in. I'm just watching that like, oh my God, this poor man. But I think you're, I think the idea is you're supposed to watch it and be like, oh, look how this guy isn't a man. And it's like, yes. That's not, that shouldn't be the takeaway from this. That's insane.
No, if anything, that makes him, I mean, you know, I won't say that. I was going to say it makes him more of a man.
I see. Yeah.
But like, yeah, it's not, that's not the right thought. What I'm trying to say is like, is
stay with your abusers, everyone. Stay because they need you.
Is I think that he is being incredibly tolerant of insane behavior. But I wholeheartedly agree that this movie takes the position of, look at what a wiener he is. His wife can't stand him because he's such a wiener. Therefore, she has to drink and hit
like,
on
no.
other men because it's like, no.
No, you're a horrible person.
Yeah.
There's also another scene where I think like he's supposed to be, I guess, like this really shitty man. But all I see is a man that has been repeatedly dumped on. Again and again and again, and finally he's starting to get his way, and he's like, okay, here's a bit for you now. Like, when his wife is talking to, or when Ricky Bobby's wife is talking to the owner, she's like, he asks her, he's like, do you know who's gonna win this week? And she's like, well, not Ricky Bobby. And then he kind of goes on this, yeah, of course not Ricky Bobby. My guy's gonna win, da 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 da. And I think you're supposed to see that and be like, yeah, look how mean he's being. I'm like, No, this guy's been spit on. He's been spat in the face again and again and again. And this woman is horrible. Okay, she's a horrible, horrible witch
woman.
Ricky
Bobby's wife, yeah.
Yeah, Ricky Bobby's wife is a terrible person, terrible character, and deserves to get dumped on like that. I'm like, yeah, good for you, man. Yeah, get some. Get some, baby.
So are you talking about the point where he kind of, it's framed in such a way that the team owner basically is seen as setting up Ricky Bobby's wife to go hook up with John C. Reilly. Is that what you mean? Is that?
I don't think that's his. I don't think that's necessarily the intent of the scene. I think the intent of the scene is just like, look at this guy be mean. Look at this guy be unnecessarily mean to this person that's injured, and it's right. Like, no, he's deserved everything that's happened.
Yeah. He can't drive anymore. Yeah. The implication of the team owner saying Ricky Bobby's not going to be able to drive anymore, our number two guy is now our number one guy, is so such an obvious unmalicious thing. The guy's insane. He's insane.
He takes every time he tries to do his job, he takes all of his clothes off. Okay. Yeah. Now, granted, I would probably make more money, but still, okay, it's wrong, okay? It's not helpful to the cause.
No, so to say that John C. Reilly's character is going to be their best driver from here on out is just a completely accurate read of the situation.
Yes.
And I do think that the movie was setting it up that he was trying to get Ricky Bobby's wife to leave him and go with John C. Reilly's because he knew that she was that kind of person. But I don't think you can. I don't think you can even put that on him. Even if he knew that that's the kind of person she is, that she only is with you as long as you're number one.
Yeah.
Not a gold digger, but like a success digger, right? Like you're only with the person for their status, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Although I will say this, okay, to defend this woman's actions, okay, if you start a relationship with somebody by saying, please be 18, don't be surprised if that woman leaves you at the drop of a hat. Don't be surprised. I'm just saying, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying you shouldn't be surprised.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing healthy about that relationship that they actually had.
Yeah. Is she 18? Yeah, okay, giddy up.
As Ricky Bobby says to her dad, it's like, shut up, old man. The only thing you've ever accomplished is making a smoking hot wife or something like that. A smoking hot daughter. I was just like, oh. The disrespect they give that poor grandpa
had me
rolling.
Chip?
Yeah.
Ball hopped up on Mountain Dew, Chip.
come at you like a spider monkey. I just wrote a couple of them down just to prove that, like, first of all, Ricky Bobby is not a good parent, not a good person. His wife is not a good person, not a good parent. And they have created very shitty kids. And fuck, the lines I wrote down was, Chip, I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey. Yeah. I'm all hopped up. Oh, I wrote down the same ones you did. Jesus. No, it's that the kids threw, it's like, what did you do at school today? These are the ones that I was talking about. It's like, I threw grandpa's war medals off of a bridge. And then the other kid is like, I told my teacher she has a lumpy ass and then pissed myself.
She started yelling at me.
And you go, what monsters?
Oh yeah, you know what I love about this movie is that the children's character arc, like this, like them getting better, is supposed to be a sign of like, look how everyone's grown. But at the same time, Ricky Bobby just dumps them on his mother and does nothing to parent. Okay, aside from saying like once, like, hey, don't do that. And it's like, wow, look at the growth this man has. And all he did was dump them on his mother and was like, fix this filth, okay? I have created this mess. Clean it up, mommy, please. It's 100% what's happening.
How Jane Lynch is playing Will Ferrell's mother, and she's 9 years older than him.
Oh, yeah, so fucking funny. His dad, too, is ridiculous. Like, they look... All the characters look so close in age to me that I just, like, I love it so much. I think...
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I could do that all day long. I want to see characters that are all the same age playing all different ages all the time. That's my favorite. I think there should be no child actors, only actors playing children.
Have you seen Pen 15?
No, I haven't yet. I've been saving it.
Oh, it's that. And well, actually, it's not, because there are child actors in it. It's just the main characters are like 30-year-old women playing their 13-year-old selves.
Oh, I love that so much.
And it is so... good. Like the way that they act it, you're just like, you forget that you're watching a 30-year-old woman after a while. You're like, no, you're a 13-year-old girl. The way you hold yourself, the way you speak, the way you react to things, it's done very, very well. So check it out if anyone
Anyway, to get back to, these aren't good parents. I don't think, I also believe that, and this is maybe going to be, maybe people are going to disagree with me on this. I don't think you should be able to name your children whatever you want. I think there has to be limits. I don't think you should be able to name your children Walker Texas Ranger. Okay, I'm sorry. I think somebody at some government office should say, you know what, let's just take a second glance at this.
Texas Ranger, obviously the most egregious.
Fine.
Yeah, egregious of those. Oof. I don't know what I feel about that. I feel
I
like there's
know,
a
man.
Certain... I think there's a certain... cruelty to give a kid a weird name because then they're explaining it their entire life.
Yeah, like what the fuck is Elon Musk's kid gonna say?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Someone
tweeted out the great point where it's like the it's gonna be the equivalent of my parents were hippies. Like my parents just thought they were weird. You know, because you get kids who are like, we're the flower children or whatever, who have like you know, I don't know, named after flowers and like, you know, peace loving Persephone or something like that. Yeah.
Oh no, I grew up in a small town. It was like if you had two last names, you were like, ooh, okay. All right. Oh, somebody has equality in their house. Like
we don't stand for two last names, but three middle names. That's where it's at. Billy Joe Bob Smith.
Oh my God.
But yeah, I don't blame the team owner at all, because Ricky Bobby's a fucking nightmare.
No, because even at the end, so when we get to the end of the movie where Ricky Bobby has made his big comeback, okay, he's come to drive. He drives for himself. Which just on the car, it says me.
It's driving very funny.
It actually, I didn't laugh at that until he got out of the car and his jumpsuit said me on it. And I just lost. I was like, there it is. There's the one. But yeah, so he makes this big comeback, and at one point the owner starts getting stressed out because Ricky Bobby is obviously doing very well, and he goes, "You got to take him out," which is supposed to be, I think, like this big, like, oh my God, look at him sabotaging, and I'm like, you mean he's asking him to do what they've been doing the whole movie? Because that's all he's asking them to do. They've been sabotaging people the whole movie through. You just don't care because you don't see any of these characters' faces. Okay, true. But Ricky Bobby's been causing car crashes all over the map. Okay, he's been huge wreckage. Okay, plus his him and his friend do like this slingshot move. They're fucking up people's cars all over the place. So it's absolutely not unreasonable, I think, at this point in the movie, because we've set the moral bar, I guess, for our main characters, that this isn't, I don't think this is a request that's out of the ordinary.
No, that's a great point. And I'll just point out that that even though crashes are, I think, why everyone does watch NASCAR, it is not the point of NASCAR. Like, you're not supposed to make contact with another car, is my understanding of the rules.
Yes.
Right. So, so what they're doing the whole time is shitty, dirty racing. Yeah, so you can't.
And these are our main characters. Like, these are our heroes. It's like, look how good these guys are.
Well, I'm not sure the movie says, look how good these guys are. But yeah, we're supposed to be rooting for them. And at that point, Ricky Bobby is on another team. John C. Reilly and Sacha Baron Cohen's characters are on the same team and are against Ricky Bobby at that point. If they were all on the same team, that would be a different story.
Exactly. So all they're asking him to do is what he's been doing for Ricky Bobby the whole time.
Yeah.
They're completely like, hey, legitimate. Do your usual job.
Also, take this guy out because he is a menace to every other car on the track. He is. This is a guy who had a Fig Newton logo put over his windshield.
Dude, the branding in this fucking kills me. It's one of my favorite parts because it is the part of the movie where you're like, okay, they are really making fun of this group of people. Like, we're going all in. We know what some of the problems are and how ridiculous it is to have Wonder Bread fucking plastered all over a car. Why? Why, America? Why is this happening?
The Fig Newton is a hilarious brand reference. I don't know why that cracked me up so much, but just like I can't see shit, but I love some Fig Newtons. Oh God, it's so good.
Branding has gotten out of control. It's like insane.
That is NASCAR. Like, everybody has cars plastered in decal. I can't say that word. I never know if it's supposed to be decal or decal. And then I like halfway through. Stickers.
You know when somebody says a word too much? And then you're like, I knew before you started talking. And then you said it too many times. And now I have no idea.
I'm just going to say stickers from here. Stickers of all these brands, all of the cars. But yeah, it's...
God, you know what our cities are always bad for? I find that the our major stadiums change names so fast that I'm like, is it the Scotiabank Place? Is it like, you know, the Air Canada Center? Like, you know what
I
mean?
Oh, the
like,
Air Canada Center became the Scotiabank Place. Yeah.
And there was
Sky Dome became the Rogers Center. And yeah, I don't know.
I'm like, what does it, you know what I mean? I don't go to Scotiabank Place and think, oh yeah, I should probably bank with Scotia. but if you own it, just change it to, like, if I owned a stadium, I'd call it Stadium.
And that, Rebecca, is why you will never own a stadium. I guess it's just that, like, if you own the stadium, it's that then any time a team plays there, mm-hmm. the TV broadcasts are saying, at Scotiabank Arena or whatever it is. So that's, you immediately get advertisement for that. And
I
like,
suppose it drives me crazy though.
As much as we, I think we would both like to believe that we are not susceptible to that. I think we absolutely are. Like, I think both you and I are like, oh, well, you know, it's pretty hard to pull one over on me. You're not just going to be like, bank at Scotiabank. And we'll be like, yes, bank. We're like, fuck you. I'm not going to listen. But if you're looking to switch banks, you're going to be like, oh, maybe I should check that out after the hockey game. I think it's insidious. I hate it, but I think it works. But yeah.
I will say, after watching this movie, I did want Fig Newtons. I was like, fuck me, I do love some Fig Newtons.
It's like that little, it's the chewy little pastry, like the date in the middle. It's great.
It's like a junior mint. Who would turn one down?
I love a good junior mint. Are you a junior mint person?
I love a junior mint.
Yeah. It's like small dose things. Like you can't, I love that they put that little tab on the box because you like can close it up and have a little bit later, you know?
Were we both hungry when we started recording this?
I think it's just sugar is what we want. About food. Yeah.
Anyway, back to the movie. Back to the thing you're here for. And the whimsical talks about Fig Newtons. Or Junior Mints for some reason. Anyway.
This episode of The Villain Was Right. Brought to you by Fig Newtons with Junior Mints shoved in it. It's week, I don't know, of quarantine, and Rebecca and I have stopped giving a fuck about what we put in our mouths.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That ship had sailed a few weeks ago, my friend. I love that the French guy's branding is Perrier.
Yeah, that was a nice subtle detail. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, subtle? Subtle as a Mack truck. Every one of the references, he's like, I love... Honestly, every movie and TV show I watch of Americans describing French people is just, it's my happy place. It's my joyful place. Because I
wanted to ask you about this.
Because I just sit on the couch. I saved this movie to watch it with my boyfriend.
Oh, thank God.
And I just sit on the couch and I just look over at him and I just keep smiling every time they make a reference and raising my eyebrows because he's like, what the fuck is this?
Yes, and I really did want to ask you about this because, in my opinion, Sacha Baron Cohen's French accent is so bad. Like,
yeah, yeah, it's bad.
Obviously intentionally over the top, but also it's really, really bad. Even I think within that, which is I think is one thing I really did not like about this movie to begin with, where it's just like. I'm very lukewarm on Sacha Baron Cohen, is what I realized, but. Watching this with your partner, he is from France.
Yes.
So what were his takes on it?
Well, this is kind of a funny little thing, but he, the first time he ever watched this movie, he was working in Australia for this chef that like loved this movie. So he would always say shake and bake, right? He'd always be like, shake and bake, baby, shake and bake. And my boyfriend would always be like, What is that? I don't understand what shake and bake is. And it would kill this chef every time he would say it because in the movie, the French character doesn't understand what shake and bake is. So he's like, what is this shake and bake? What is this? So every time he would say that to him, he'd lose his fucking mind. But he loves the movie. He thinks it's hilarious. I think, honestly, I don't... It depends. Obviously, it depends on the type of accent and who you're portraying and all this kind of stuff, right? But... I think it's bad with intention to be bad. It's like, look how this isn't a real person. This is absolutely ridiculous. It's so over the top. We're every reference we're making, everything we're saying is so over the top. So, you know, we're wrong.
Yeah. This isn't what we think French people are. This is what Americans think.
Yeah. This is like scope of ignorance. Yeah. This is what we're watching. Do I agree with all the jokes? No. Some of them, oh, God. I'm like, we're really leaning into the homophobia here. I don't know why he keeps trying to kiss Will Ferrell. That's kind of a weird tone for me. I was like, I don't know. I could have done without that, I think. But other than that, like, I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe there's some French people out there that are, like, super fucking offended, and they're like, this is ridiculous. But... me watching it, I'm like, oh, it's supposed to be seen as an ignorant point of view.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, okay. I was just, because like the whole time through, I was just like, Jesus, I hope you watch this.
He's drinking the macchiato and his because some of it is fucking, some of it is kind of like, it's over the top, but it's also like, some of it's like really funny to me because it's kind of accurate. Like my boyfriend drank an endless amount of coffee, like a ridiculous superhuman amount of coffee. Okay, and I just think, so every time I see that little scene of him drinking macchiatos in the car, I'm like, yeah, that, you know what, that checks out, actually. I'm gonna.
I did love, and this happens in the bar when they first sort of meet, and they each list like three things that their country is great at. I think he's like, you've done nothing, you've contributed nothing to the world but George Bush Cheerios and Thigh Master. And they're like, which is a fucking great dig, actually. And then they're like, oh, yeah, why did French bring? He's like, we are the birthplace of democracy, existentialism, and the menage a trois.
They're like, you know what? Those are all great things.
Those are all great things. He's like, well, one of them's pretty good. Yeah, I love that so much. I also love that Jean's, they say that his pit crew leader is the 1993 Nobel Prize winner in physics. Yes. It's such a throwaway joke. Like he's sitting, I was just like, oh, you're the best. Like you're the best at what you do.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting? I think he was the perfect character for it in the sense of like, he has the physique of like a Formula One driver. You know, have you seen these guys? Because driving Formula One is actually really exhausting. It's like,
yeah, I believe it.
It's a physical marathon. These guys are super fit. So it made a lot of sense to me to bring in a guy that like looks slender, like looks like somebody that would drive one of those cars. Which is like, so I'm sure they didn't base it on that at all.
No, I think Sacha Baron Cohen was coming off of Borat. They were like, let's get him with Will Ferrell. I think that was.
I've literally never watched Borat.
It is uncomfortable.
That's what I thought. Because I'm one of those people, and oh my God, this is so like, I hate this about myself, and I think I get it from my mom. But if something, it that cringe comedy, yep, that like, oh, everyone's uncomfortable, I'll watch it, but I physically turn the volume down. Like I will put it down a little bit, like I hear it less, so it's less bad to me, and then I'll turn it back up when it gets better. And that is why I haven't watched that movie, because I'm like, I feel like that whole movie is that.
It's all secondhand embarrassment.
I'm going deaf. Like I don't have the hearing for it anymore. You know what I mean? I can't turn it down low enough and still be able to gather what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah, that and like for I have the exact same thing because I everybody, comics I respect and love very much, they're like, Curb Your Enthusiasm is the greatest comedy show ever made, and I have tried to watch it and I just cannot. It is like nails on a chalkboard to me. I am so uncomfortable because it's so socially awkward. So I've seen Borat, I've seen that, and I think Sacha Baron Cohen can be pretty good in certain aspects. But yeah, it's that feeling all the way through it where you're just like, oh, stop, please, just, oh, this is so uncomfortable. Yeah.
So, you know, we actually, and I would like to talk about a third villain.
Ooh, I didn't peg a third villain.
You didn't peg a third villain? You don't think his dad's a bad guy?
Oh, I guess. Yeah, he's not the best.
I do think he maintains villain status throughout this. I just think he's not defensible.
No, I don't think he is either. I think, well, and I think Ricky Bobby's character arc, as much as there is one, is him coming to terms with the fact that his dad is kind of shitty and that the advice that he gave him as a kid that he's lived his entire life by is bad advice.
That's honestly one of my favorite scenes in the movie is when he goes, when he talks to his, he's like, I've lived my whole life by your motto, if you're not first, you're last. And he's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. There's lots of other places. There's second, there's third.
Fourth, just, even fifth.
It fucking kills me because it's just like, I just love the concept of like, I was high, like, how could you base everything off of one sentence that I've said, which I actually think is one, and probably one of the only ones, one great lesson in this movie is that you shouldn't take one sentence and live your whole life by it. Yes. Especially when it's said by a person that left immediately afterwards.
Yeah. He's like, what, that? Oh, I was high as hell. I don't know what I was saying. Like, but it's one of those things where it's like, there's this form of advice where it sounds really good when you first hear it. And you're like, yeah. And then as soon as you think about it, it's the dumbest fucking thing in the world.
Which I think is we most talked about advice that's one sentence. I think
yeah,
we could.
Yeah. Advice without subtlety or nuance. Yeah, that's well,
stay
I think
away
we talked
blanketing statements, I guess is what we're trying to say.
Yeah, like respect the hustle. Man, sometimes just get you need 12 hours of sleep. Or 8 hours, you know what I mean? Don't be out all night hustling as that, like that's the only quality that you need. How about a good sleep and a good relationship with your friends and family? How about that? How about balance and nuance? I don't know.
Drive me crazy. And you see those ones for like motivation where they're like, there's one video of this guy and he's giving this speech about like how if you don't want success, like you have to be able to like, you got to wake up every day with the one thing in your mind. Okay. You got to want success more than you want to breathe. And he goes on this like 5 minute thing about how he goes to the beach every day. It's just like, it's, this concept of like, you have to wake up at 5 a.m. and you have to like, you have to piss excellence, I guess is what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
It's just, it's insane, man. No human being can live like this, live with the mentality of like, if you're not first, you're last. It's like, that's an impossible motivation. And you will only ever be constantly disappointed.
Yes, I was going to say that exactly. This gets a little serious, but like the only thing that sort of thing does is demotivate people, right? Like,
it makes you feel like you're not enough. It makes you feel like when you read these articles about these CEOs that wake up at 5 a.m. and do an hour of meditation, it's like, well, yeah, of course, because they can, because they have probably somebody making them breakfast while they're doing that. They have somebody laying out their iron paper for some reason. You know what I mean? Like shit like that, where it's just like, yeah, you can't do that because you're a normal fucking person. You got other shit going on. You know what I mean? Your cat puked on the carpet. You got other things to do, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Personally, I'll put this because I've read some self-help stuff and like, you know, stuff about trying to form good habits and all the rest. And I think there is some good advice in there. But a lot of stuff I always read was like, so obviously you're motivated. And here is how you're going to become the best human being you possibly can. And I was like, oh, you've already lost me. Because... because that's my problem. I am not motivated to do this. I am reading this because I would like to somehow figure out how to get motivated so I can accomplish more things. So I would love for a self-help book that's just like, so you're not motivated, so you don't give a shit. Like, you know, like actual motivation and stuff for the average person. Just being like, you just want to lay down and eat fucking Junior Mint stuffed into Fig Newtons all day. Well, let's set the bar slightly higher than that.
Yeah. Step one, get out of bed. That's what I want.
Done.
Chapter one, how to get out of bed in the morning. Perfect.
I would pay money for that book. And I might write it if I ever get off my ass.
Oh, yeah, dude. You ever notice that all of these like motivational, because I know a few of these people, and generally speaking, anybody I know that is like a motivational speaker or somebody that's like this self-help, whatever. They're all the saddest people I've ever met. It's like, they're constantly just project. They're like, this is how you obtain success. And it's like, You're so sad, though. You probably shouldn't tell people what to do.
Well, and that's this gets very serious and dark.
Oh, God.
But like,
sorry.
No, but I honestly do believe, and I've seen this in my peers and things like that. There are people that I started comedy with who accomplished a lot of things very quickly. And I very much was envious of them and then realized that they are not happy with any accomplishment they have made. Whereas I thought, oh man, I'd be so happy if I got that award or that festival or something like that. And the people who did it, got it, were not happy. And I was like, were they more motivated than me to go get it? Yes, absolutely they were. But motivation and satisfaction are kind of opposites of each other. Like, if you're just happy with your life, you're not going to push yourself too hard to get more. And if you are constantly pushing yourself to get more, you're not going to be that happy. Again, that gets really dark, and I'm sorry. who would have thought that Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, was going to be the podcast episode that brought out Craig and Rebecca's real deep existential thoughts on success and motivation?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Please head over to our Patreon where we talk about BoJack Horseman. It for sure is in no way dark or depressing. Oh, God. Anyway.
Oh, so anything else you wanted to say about the villains in Talladega Nights?
Oh, man. I would like to talk briefly about the scene where Ricky Bobby believes he's paralyzed. Because that's... That is in... I believe that is the essence of his character. Okay? That scene really just shows who he is and what he is and what he's out here doing, which is just, I'm ignorant and I'm destructive. And this is it.
There's no convincing me of things that other than what I believe. If I believe that I am paralyzed, I'm going to be paralyzed.
Yeah, I also believe that his best friend is supposed to be I'm going to call him the Magic Man because I love that. The Magic Man, he does cross over to villain territory throughout this movie. And why I think he's defensible, because what happens essentially is that Ricky Bobby's wife leaves him immediately and then goes
to like 3 hours or something.
3 hours. And is like,
he's getting fired from the team and John C. Reilly's moved into his house. It's hilarious.
Yeah. He's like, I'm with the Magic Man now. Why I think this character is defensible is because he absolutely has no idea what he's done. He has no clue. He has blindly followed everyone in his life since he was born, I'm going to believe. Okay. He just follows. And I think one of my favorite jokes throughout this movie is that he never understands they're not best friends still.
Like, he's calling about how to run the stereo in his house.
Yeah, he's like, you're coming to my wedding. Like, you're going to get over this in a couple hours. You're going to be my best man. Like, there's going to be a nacho fountain at my wedding. You're going to be there. Don't worry about it. And that's why I think he's defensive. Because I think if you have that best friend, you know what that is.
He's the harmless idiot is what he is. He's the naive idiot who's going to go along with anything. Whereas Ricky Bobby is the destructive idiot. He's the bad influence.
Exactly. Like, this guy's just kind of bobbing around doing what he's told. And I love his explanation. Listen, she grabbed my crotch. And it was like a tractor beam of hotness. Like, what are you going to do? And it's like, yeah, that's pretty much, that's what all of, this is what these two characters have experienced. And I don't think he's a bad guy for it.
No, I don't think so either. And he was wronged in many ways too. Like, Ricky Bobby doesn't want him. It is like, I'm never going to let you win first. Like, we're never going to do the slingshot where I slingshot you into first place because then I lose. So Ricky Bobby's not willing to give up anything to maintain that friendship, which is again, very deep and asking a lot from the idiots in this movie, but like...
Yeah, not the purpose of this film, probably, no. To be criticized in the way we are.
But you understand that John C. Reilly just wants a chance to win because he's a good friend and does everything for his friend, but then at the same time is a huge idiot. Yeah, Again, and watching those two, I think they're some of the best screen chemistry. Like John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell just having fun together. Like that scene where he's praying to Jesus. He's like, dear baby Jesus. And John C. Reilly's just like, yeah. Like, it's such a small thing, but it's just like, thank you for my smoking hot wife. And he's like, Like, it's just such, it's like, it's so fun to watch two actors and performers like that just obviously having fun doing what they do.
Absolutely. Well, I think that covers it for me. I've got...
I got one more thing, which is a very controversial, and I can't believe I'm going to end this on this. So the soundtrack to this movie, one of the final races, they have they play Space Lord by Monster Magnet. And I'm going to fucking call it. If you don't remember that song fucking bangs. I know they were a one-hit wonder, but that's a good fucking song. I heard it, and I was immediately happy I heard that song. Is it a ridiculous over the top song? Yes, it is. but go listen to Space Lord by Monster Magnet and tell me that you do not want to just run around and have a lot of fun. That's my last thought on Talladega Nights. You want to be motivated. You want to get up at 5 a.m. and meditate, you listen to Space Lord by Monster Magnet. That'll get the juices going.
Ridiculous end to a ridiculous movie.
Oh, so ridiculous. So yeah, I think it's time for our, what do you think, our rankings, definitive rankings of how good the villain is.
This week, so I have a branding ranking, which I believe is really on brand for this. I'm going to kill myself. Jesus. Oh, the bar is low for comedy. Anyway. Okay, so I'm going to say from a Axe body spray flag in a frat house. To launching a car into space, I'm gonna give this these villains a tattooing Chipotle on your forehead. If it is within your rights, even if it's within bad taste.
There we go, fantastic. So I'm obviously doing Jean Girard as the villain. So I did the big city bad driving scale. So if you've ever driven in a big city, you know that these are people. So on a scale of going 90 in the left-hand lane and just fucking slowing everybody down, to BMW tailgate in an ambulance up the shoulder to get ahead of traffic. You've seen that. I'm going to give him an out-of-state license plate that slows down to let you merge, because clearly they're not from around here, and that's not how we do things, but you can't argue that they're pretty decent people.
Hey!
So that's my scale for him. And before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, where we describe people who have inspired or disappointed us in our personal lives, there's a couple ways you can help the podcast. So if you're on social media, give us a shout. VWR Podcast on Twitter. Villain Was Right on Facebook. If you have any sort of suggestions for movies or, you know, compliments, because, hey, we like compliments, you can hit us up at villainwasright@gmail.com, and we'll try and get back to you. We do take audience suggestions. This episode today was an audience suggestion, which our patrons voted on. So we do do your suggestions. So please send them in. And as also...
Yes, of course. And with the mention of Patreon, you can hit us up on Patreon if you're looking for bonus content, voting rights, things of that nature. Hit us up there. Yeah, we've got many tiers. It helps us pay for production costs and things of that nature. If you're already a Patreon, we love you so much. Thank you for doing that. If you're not, don't worry about it. Thank you for listening. We love you just as much. We love all of you. Thank you so much for listening.
And telling your friends about us and all the rest.
You guys are the best. And now it is time for our heroes or villains of the week. Craig, you're starting us off this week. What's up?
Yeah, so I've got, I'm switching up a little. I've got both a hero and a villain this week because they're both kind of small. I'm going to start with my villain, which is the show Hollywood on Netflix. And my apologies if you also listen to I Hate It But I Love It, because you probably heard Kat talk about this.
It's a big hate. We got a big hate on in the house.
This is so bad. Okay, so it's kind of a revisionist history of 1950s Hollywood, right? Where it's like, what if, you know, this happened? And it starts off with our main character, a struggling actor, and he gets a job at a gas station, and it turns out that that is, the gas station also does sex work. So he becomes a sex worker. And as I'm watching the pilot, I'm kind of like, huh, this show did not do a very good job of interrogating what his thought process was or his moral conflict about abandoning his dream of becoming an actor and becoming a sex worker. And that turned out to be my least criticism of the show. It gets so much worse after that, to the point where after we watched the whole thing, I was just standing looking out the window, and Kat was like, what's up? And I was just like, I just cannot get over how bad it is. I'm still thinking about how terrible this show is. Because it is paced horribly. It is written horribly. There's literally a scene in one of the later episodes where in one episode, these scenes are back to back. We discover that two characters have romantic feelings for each other. They go to the Oscars. He asks her to marry him. This is like the next scene after they got together. Then they cut to a funeral where a main character has died, and it's not the main character that they've told you is sick. It's just another main character who died. Like, it is so ridiculously paced. And it's the other thing I hate about this show is that it is so heavy-handed. It deals with it, and rightfully so, it deals with racism, it deals with homophobia, it deals with sexism, misogyny, all these like kind of heavy topics. But they do it such a disservice by not treating any of these problems properly. Like, people overcome them without any struggle, and that somehow, that doesn't somehow, it does diminish the accomplishments of the people who actually overcame that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a scene where and I picked the least objectionable one, so I'm not gonna like sound terrible, but there's a scene where this woman is like, I'm tired of being a housewife, I want to run the movie studio, and the husband goes, okay, and then he dies. Like, it's
what?
Like, that's how little conflict or trouble she has to overcome. It's just like, women deserve the right to run movie studios, and her sexist husband is just like, you know what, you're right, you run the movie studio now. And I'm just like, well, thank God women had to struggle for 20 years to, you know, to get their foot in the door in the movie industry. It can be solved in the 50s if you just say something nice. So it is absolutely one of the worst shows I have ever seen. It is comically bad. I can't even recommend that you watch it. So that's my villain. But I did want to end on a bit of a more positive note, because I know you're probably looking for things to kind of occupy your time. So this is my hero of the week, and I cannot recommend this enough. It is a show called Taskmaster. It is a panel show from the UK. And the premise is basically five comedians, and they are given certain tasks that they need to complete, and they compete with each other for points. And it seems like such a simple premise, but it is honestly one of the most hilarious, one of the most addicting, one of the most fulfilling and joyful shows I have ever seen. We're racing through them. It is so fun and fantastic. And here's the best part. Like, the first five seasons of this show are on YouTube, just for free. Don't have to download them. Don't have to sign up for any streaming service. Just go and check it out. Check out the first season, that first episode. I guarantee you'll be hooked. Please just check it out. It's a lot of fun, and it's bringing me a lot of joy in this situation. So that's my hero and villain of the week. So there we go.
I love UK panel shows.
This is the best. Have you seen Taskmaster?
No, I haven't. I'm going to check it out, though.
Absolutely, check it out.
I love those. So mine, I don't know. Hero, villain, definitely a villain, but really funny to watch, I guess, for my story this week. I don't know what reminded me of the story, but like, I don't know. We've just been like talking about various things this week and reminded me of this one time I went to my boyfriend and I went to a bed and breakfast. We were like, oh, you know what would be fun? This was a few years ago. We were like, oh, you know what would be fun if we went to like a little town, went to a bed and breakfast, went on some walks, like did some hiking, some fun stuff like that. Yeah. Just hang out, whatever, right? So we go to the small town in Ontario and we go to like one of these like classic pub, one of my favorite types of pubs that are in the cellar. You know what I mean? When you go down and you only have those little half windows and it's all like dark and cozy and there's a little fire on and it's, you know, you try not to think about the last time they cleaned the beer taps. Like you just, you have a nice time, right? So we're down in one of those and we're right by the window and it's beautiful. It's like minus 10 out. It's cold, but it's snowing a bit. We're right beside this river. It's beautiful. And I'm just enjoying a beer. I'm having a wonderful moment, right? And then out of the corner of my eye, I see something bobbing in the river. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm thinking, I'm like, oh my God, is that like an animal? Like what is it? Because it's way too cold for something to be in the water bobbing around, right? And I'm like, is that an animal? What is it? And then I see that it's a person. Like it's an adult person in this river and his head's bobbing in it. I'm like, and my first thought is oh my God, that guy is fucking drowning or something. Cause like, why else would you be in the river right now? So I'm like, I'm like, oh my God. Like I stand up and I'm trying to think about how fast I can get outside. But I'm like, to get outside, I have to like run out and like run past four buildings, go around this other building to get to this. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to save this. I'm going to watch somebody fucking drown right now. Like I'm having a panic attack. And that's when I see two cops running on either side of the river. They're trying to catch this guy. This guy is trying to get away. So I don't know. I have no idea what this man has done. But now, with a beer in my hand, I am watching the world's best police chase I've ever seen in my entire life. So this guy starts on one side of the river. So he's bobbing on to the other side. And they keep trying to chase. So there's these two cops and they keep trying to get him on either side, right? And there's a little bridge that's like, whatever, 15 feet down. I don't know why he wouldn't get further away from the bridge. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So they just keep running on either side, trying to capture this guy. Eventually, he gets out of the water and he manages to climb up this little cliff that's right beside the river. And now they're chasing him around this cliff. Okay. And then he jumps, gets back into the water, goes to the other side. Okay. Disappears for like 5-10 minutes. We don't see this guy. And I'm sitting and we're laughing. We're like, this is absolutely insane to see this man trying to escape. And I swear to God, like 10 minutes later, we see him on the other side of the river getting arrested. They had managed to corner this man. But I just honestly, the entire time I watched this, you don't know what I'm talking, it was like there was zany music playing in my head the entire time.
Yeah, wacky sax or whatever.
Like it was. I have never gone from pure terror to pure delight so fast in my entire life. I thought this man was drowning, and then I just got to watch this guy get chased around for 10 minutes by cops.
So clearly on meth.
I have no idea what was going on. He must have been fucking freezing, though. He must have been freezing.
I don't know if this story is better or worse with a backstory. You know what I mean? Like, it's
I have no idea. I looked at, there was nothing in the paper about it. I was trying literally looked up that small town's local paper to see if I could find out why that man got arrested.
Isn't it insane that the most crazy thing that you've ever seen is not noteworthy in the news?
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think anything I've ever said on this podcast has ever been in the news. And some of this shit is wild. Anyway, that was, I don't know what reminded me of that story, but every time I think about it, there's just pure joy in my heart of this man desperately trying to escape. You're right. He was, I don't know. Anyway, that was, it was a fun time. Highly recommend if you ever get the chance.
Love it.
Anyway, that's been us from The Villain Was Right. Where can people follow you, Craig?
Yeah, you can follow me at Craig Fake Comedy on Twitter and Facebook. You can also check out my YouTube channel. Just search for Craig Fake on YouTube there. I have a new video series called Craig Fake Builds a Clock, where I'm going to be building a clock from scratch, and I'm going to be exploring kind of the history and all the interesting science and stuff behind it. So episode one is out now. When this podcast drops, there should be episode two in a couple of weeks. So keep your eye out for that. Yeah, that's what I've been working on.
And as usual, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads at anything of your choosing, RebeccaReeds, Instagram, Twitter, hit me up on whatever. I try and answer all the messages I get. I'm sorry if it's not that I have an abundance of messages, just sometimes I put my phone down for a while, but I will get back to you. I appreciate all the messages you guys send me. I love all of you very much. Guys, please check out next week's episode. Next Thursday, we are doing Parent Trap. Look out for this episode. I'm very excited about it. I think you guys are going to love it. And as always, this is us from The Villain Was Right, reminding you that you love crepes. You love them.
The Villain Was Right was produced by Andrew Ivamy for the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as YouTube series, webcomics, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.